Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the earnings call of Nemetschek Group. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefanie Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and hello everybody, and welcome to our conference call. Thank you for joining us to discuss the results for the first quarter 2021 with us. Today's conference call is being recorded. A replay of the call will be available at our website after the call. We have prepared a short presentation with the most important figures and the strategic highlights of the first quarter. You will find the presentation, the quarterly report, and the press release on our investor relations website as well. But now, let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to our spokesman, Axel Kaufmann, who will lead you through the presentation. So go ahead, Axel.
Happy to do so. Thank you very much, Stephanie, and welcome also from my side to our first quarter earnings call in this year 2021. After the substantial amount of detail we provided on our subscription strategy and our midterm ambitions in the course of our full year reporting last month, we have now returned to our usual short but informative slide deck that I'd like to briefly walk you through so that we have enough time for your questions afterwards. As usual, we'll start with an overview of our key business highlights in the first quarter. In short, I think we had a very successful start to the year, helped by an underlying recovery and improving confidence in the overall construction industry, as well as our resilient business model, along with our strategy. This improving market conditions translated into an organic top-line increase of more than 12%, paired with a very high profitability. However, reported revenues increased by only 8.1% to 158 million due to an ongoing substantial foreign exchange headwind as previously announced and expected. In line with the trends we saw in the last quarters, our top line growth was again mainly driven by our recurring revenues, so maintenance and subscription sales, which increased by 16% on a currency adjusted basis. In addition, we're pleased to report that our license revenues also recorded a positive growth for the first time since the beginning of the corona pandemic. As already mentioned, our profitability was exceptionally high in the first quarter. Main reasons were a higher than expected growth, in particular in the month of March, as well as ongoing cost savings for travel, an example of trade fairs due to the COVID-19 restrictions. Therefore, please let me highlight that the strong margin in the first quarter should not be extrapolated in the coming quarters, and especially the second half of the year, whereas the transition of our previously announced Bluebeam to the SaaS business model will be a drag on our growth as well as on our profitability. Apart from the high cash conversion of more than 120%, the right side on this slide shows that we once again also increased the quality of our balance sheet significantly. Moving on to the next slide, page number 4. I already briefly touched on the negative foreign exchange headwind we faced once again in the first quarter. The main reason was the weakening US dollar against the euro, which accounts for roughly 45% of our total revs. While this is certainly not a new trend, the impact on our reported figures has, however, increased steadily over the last quarters, from 280 basis points in the third quarter last year to more than 400 basis points in the past quarter, as depicted in the chart. Therefore, while our reported revenue growth was more or less only stable over the last quarters, I want to highlight that our underlying currency-adjusted growth is already back at the levels we saw prior to the global pandemic. I think that's a strong statement, as well as a testimony for the high resilience and growth potential of our business model and our end markets overall in general. Let's move on to the next page. As you all know, one of the main objectives, part of the strategy, and always an important discussion point with many investors, is the theme of increasing our share of recurring revenues. If anything, last year's developments have further amplified the importance of these better predictable and more resilient revenues. We were able to grow those by almost 12% on a reported basis and even almost 16% on an organic and currency adjusted basis. This translates into an advancement of 2 percentage points of the recurring revenue category, which now accounts for 61% of our total sales. Within the recurring category, our subscription revenues once again grew as the strongest and currently account for more than 110 million euros. This already represents a share of 18% of our total sales compared to the only 13% 1 year ago. In addition, we're happy to report that the sequential improvement in our license sales that we saw since the beginning of Q3 also continued and even accelerated in the first quarter this year. Driven by our design segment, software licenses therefore increased on a reported and currency adjusted basis for the first time since the start of the global pandemic. On page number 6, we provide, as usually, an overview of our most important KPIs. We've already addressed our revenues, top line, and EBITDA development in detail. So going down the P&L, you'll notice that our EBIT and earnings per share increased somewhat overproportionally in the first quarter. This overproportional growth is mainly a function of two factors. Number one, lower PPA charges compared to last year, as well as second, a lower tax rate of just 21% in the first quarter of this year compared with 25% in the comparable quarter last year. I would like to also draw your attention to some of those numbers that we haven't touched on during this call so far. For example, the repeatedly very strong operating cash flow of almost 61 million, which underpins the high quality of our earnings. Last but not least, we've also further improved the quality of our balance sheet, represented in important metrics such as the equity ratio, which is now standing at almost 49%, and a net cash position of around 65 million euros. Therefore, our strong earnings and cash flow development, along with an extremely solid balance sheet, provide us with a high degree of safety going forward, while simultaneously enabling us to act flexibly and opportunistically should interesting opportunities rise up in the coming months and quarters. Now, to conclude my view on the first Q numbers, let's look at our four segments on page number 7. Starting from left to right, our design segment recorded a strong recovery with a currency-adjusted increase in revenues of 11.5%, mainly driven by an organic license growth of 13%. Main contributor to the revenue and margin increase was our second largest brand within the Nemetschek Group, Graphisoft, in Hungary. Our build segment, with a plus of 4.8% year over year, continued to suffer from the strong US dollar and the foreign exchange headwind. The underlying growth of 11.2% shows a slight acceleration compared to the last quarters. Our managed segment had the expected slower start into the year, with the important customer group of facility managers continuing their more cautious investment activities. In addition, also to the margin development as expected, as we continue to strongly invest into the future growth of this division. Last but not least, our media segment continued its very satisfactory performance also in the first quarter, being the first quarter where the strong foreign exchange adjusted increase in revenues is entirely driven by pure organic growth. As we come to the end of my presentation on page number 9, I'd like to turn to our 2021 full-year outlook. Based on the good start into the year, we fully confirm our guidance for 2021. In particular, this means that from today's perspective, at constant currencies, we expect at least a high single-digit percentage revenue growth despite our accelerated move to subscription. With this, we're very confident to also achieve our normally targeted profitability range in an EBITDA margin between 27 and 29%. Our assessment is based on the assumption that the markets and the business environment in general will continue to normalize throughout this year. In addition, please keep in mind the various, partly even opposing, moving parts that will continue to affect our revenue and margin development over the coming quarters. As there is, for example, Our second quarter growth in revenues and EBITDA will naturally be higher given the extremely low comparables due to the COVID-19 impact in the second quarter of last year. We will therefore see a normalization, as I would call it, of our growth and margin development in the third quarter, also due to the strong rebound we saw in the third quarter last year, before we will start to really feel the impact of the Bluebeam transition starting at the beginning of the fourth quarter in terms of lower revenue growth and a lower profitability. We all know why we do this transition. It's for the benefit of the midterm strategy and the returns that we would expect from that transition. Given that Bluebeam is our biggest brand within the entire Nemetschek Group, I urge all of you to keep please this impact in mind and not just extrapolate once again our development of a single potential strong first half into the second half and especially into the fourth quarter. Nevertheless, with the first quarter of this year being a strong basis, we look very confident into the remainder of this year, given the intact long-term growth trends in our relevant markets, our already high proportion of better plannable revenues, as well as the broad regional and market-related diversification. To summarize maybe today's key points on an extra page that we have added as page number 10. Nemetschek had a successful start into the year 2021 with a strong top-line momentum and a high level of profitability. Further, the growth was mainly driven by an underlying recovery and improving confidence in the construction industry in general, as well as our large share of recurring revenues. The exceptionally high profitability in the first quarter is a function of a higher than expected growth, as well as some ongoing cost savings due to the corona activities and actions that we have taken. However, as previously highlighted, one important caveat is that this high level of profitability with an EBITDA margin of more than 30% is not applicable for the entire fiscal year 2021. The transition to the SaaS business model of our biggest brand, Bluebeam, which is very important and strategic, will have a negative effect on our top line and therefore also our profitability in the second half of the year. This is very consistent with what we have previously communicated in the last half year. Taking all of that together, we're convinced that the first quarter presents a strong foundation for a very successful remainder of this fiscal year 2021. Looking at the bigger picture, we can clearly see that all our long-term structural growth drivers, such as the low degree of digitalization in our industry, increasing BIM regulations for the need for more energy efficient and environmental friendly construction, are intact and offer substantial growth potential in the coming years. While we continue our positive operational development, we simultaneously also drive forward our various strategic initiatives in a structured and diligent way in order to set the Nemetschek Group up to become a 1 billion company in the future. Lastly, let me shortly highlight our upcoming events. Our AGM taking place on May 12th, as well as our second quarter reporting at the end of July, July 29th, where we hope to welcome all of you again. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and we're now happy to take some of your questions. Operator, please back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial zero and one on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial zero and two to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment please for the first question. The first question is from George Webb, Morgan Stanley. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Axel and Stephanie. I have a few questions, please. Firstly, one clarification on margin. Look, in Q1, you clearly delivered a very good level of margin on the back of a strong top line and continued cost savings around COVID. Have those costs around COVID started to come back in through Q2 so far, or is that a second half story? I guess tied to that, the margin headwind from Bluebeam, you seem to be saying is more of a Q4 story. Is the magnitude of the impact from Bluebeam the reason you keep the full year margin guidance unchanged? Are you expecting some quite significant costs returning in Q2 or Q3? That's the first question. Second one, on the Bluebeam SaaS transition, can you give us an update on where you are in that process? Have pricing or product changes been formalized yet? And have you been having any early discussions with pilot customers? Anything around those areas would be helpful. And perhaps thirdly, one of the longer term themes that you've been consistent on since joining the business is organizational simplification or harmonization. Can you provide an update on where you feel you are in that process? Thank you.
Yes, hello, George, and thank you very much for the very good three questions. I'd like to start maybe with the Bluebeam, and that's a simple yes. Indeed, we have been reaching out to pilot customers. Everything, you know, all traffic lights green. We're seeing the progress in preparing everything, not only the, you know, the expectation on that front, but also the back-end processes. But it's, you know, this is still a lot of work to be done. We're in the middle of this, I would say. We're confident that we can work ourselves through this and keep the timeline. And everything that I think you'd had assumed is correct. To the organizational aspect of your third question, indeed, I think that's going to continue. We've been making, I'd say, simplifications, trying to keep the complexity of the overall organization somewhat under control. We've been launching, various strategic reviews with the entities, and trying to evaluate whether, you know, which processes, also some of the back office processes, would give us some relief if we had organized them differently. So that's going to be a constant theme, and I'm glad you actually caught it over the last 18 months, because I think that is helpful to become a 1 billion company. You want to do that right in time and not when it's too late, just to prepare for being able to master somewhat of that future growth. And then on your first question on the margin, I think it's a little bit of what you said. Yes, Bluebeam plays an important role, given the size of the business overall, given also a level of uncertainty, I would say, overall in the macros still. I mean, this is Q1. It came in very nicely, slightly better than expected even. We're still seeing, you know, new developments, you know, within the scope of the pandemic, quite frankly. So I think we all felt just this being prudent to keep it within the range of 27 to 29 overall as an average for the entire year. And I think the remark in the presentation was done on purpose that the Qs might look quite differently, you know, especially when we have to take in mind the comparables from last year. It's a mix, I think, of a little bit of those points that you mentioned. We'll continue to be a bit more aggressive in investments. Some of those are related to the organizational simplification. Some are related to, you know, the transition. Some might be related in just preparing for further growth in order to make that top line happen as we want to see it. So that's costs from the normalization. I would say that we didn't see literally any travel or any trade for costs in the last few months, but we expect that those will and shall happen, especially in the second half. It's a little bit of what we mentioned here with the organization preparation in the backgrounds for some processes. It's the Bluebeam impact. All of that leads us to not being overly too optimistic at this point of time that we would not promise something that goes beyond that range of the 27, 29, appreciating that I think the likes are increasing that we'd end at the higher end of that bandwidth, of that range, now given the first few months and the environment hopefully improving continuously.
Understood. That's really helpful. If I can ask one follow-up, I guess how should we think about the pipeline or the roadmap towards that Bluebeam SaaS transition being formally launched to customers? Will there be a point in maybe the third quarter where you'll be able to share more information on what the product changes are or the strategy is? How should we think about that, I guess?
Yeah, I see no reason why this would not be a good time window, as a matter of fact, to do so. I think we'd like to respect customers first, and we want to make sure that we're 150% ready also internally once we would announce some of those officially. Not to discredit the communication to the capital markets, but I think that the priority would be to, you know, for the business and for the customer side of those. But yes, I can imagine that being a good time window to do so.
Okay, that's helpful. Actually, one final question. I think in the past there's been some kind of maybe, you know, it's possible that Graphisoft could at some point move for a subscription shift. Is that more likely to be a 2022 story at this stage than this year?
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, George.
The next question is from Sven Nagt, Barclays. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on the great quarter. Last year, you gave us a schedule how you expect the different divisions to be impacted by COVID, with the design division being the first segment to be impacted. Now, of course, we're seeing a strong recovery in the design segment. So my question is there any reason why we shouldn't expect the recovery to follow the same pattern? And then secondly, on the cost side, maybe adding another element to the previous question. We have increasingly seen that many companies in the sector don't expect a full return to their previous travel, entertainment and event spend. To what extent do you think this is the case for Nemetschek? And to what extent have you factored that into your margin guidance? And then maybe finally on Bluebeam, do you believe you face currently a headwind because some people maybe wait for the release of the new subscription version, and maybe related to the subscription transition, do you already know what KPIs you will provide? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sven. Again, three questions. Let's try to tackle them one after the other. Indeed, I think the recovery pattern would be as follows, that design would have dropped and be impacted the most. And it seems like those are the ones that, especially given our customer structure, by the way, and the installed base of the small and medium customers and the perpetual license business being prevailing and somewhat dominant in that part of our business, Those seem to be also the ones coming out of that the quickest, so that is confirming the pattern to go into such a crisis and coming and be able to come out of that, as I think we've communicated with the capital markets almost a year ago. Second, we're not disagreeing with parties that would say travel and events, trade shows and so on will never reach the previously 100% level, and the new normal that we would expect, I don't know, but we haven't agreed on you know, the magic number for the group in total, because there is differences of some of the areas relying more on such a customer to customer interaction and the old way to do some of those activities, as opposed to maybe some other areas of the business where we could learn already before Corona that some of those online activities work quite well. So my best guess would be that we've probably factored into our predictions a two-thirds level of what was previously maybe the average, if that's a fair assumption, and I haven't, you know, calculated that. So that would be a ballpark number. At least for this year. And then we will see and take some learnings. You know, the pandemic is not yet completely over. That's a fair point. I think the first real learnings we can take probably, you know, after the second half of this year when we have all gotten back to what is then the new normal, right? And we're yet to be seen. And then on Bluebeam, no, I wouldn't say that in the core markets of the U.S. were just because of the expected/perceived transition to subscription or SaaS, that is something that I hear a lot of customers hesitating. I think it was overall, again, coming back to the pattern, the American market being somewhat weaker overall in the last few months of last year and recovering quite well overall as an industry. And the macros, I think, in the U.S. have improved. So I think it's a melange, of course. I think Bluebeam is having Also territories outside the US, outside the core markets, where I think it doesn't matter so much whether you offer it as perpetual or as subscription, because the product is relatively unknown. It's relatively young markets for us. And we want to do both, you know, while we transition in the core market, North America, to, you know, subscription and the SaaS business model. Well, we've always said that, being very consistent with previous announcement, that we would like to continue to invest, which we have done in the first quarter, by the way, as well, in creating the foundation and the infrastructure in those markets outside the U.S., for example, where Bluebeam has a great deal of potential still as well. And that needs a little bit of preparation. So, no, I don't think the sheer announcement, yet there was no official announcement of that. It's something that you know as our trusted analysts and people that follow us on the capital markets, that we have said that we will go into this, but we haven't totally, entirely announced new products, new features, new functionalities, new pricing, new product positioning. All of that is yet to come. Coming back to what George, I think, had implied in his question, if I understood correctly, is that when will that be, you know, made public? And I think that be rather in the summertime, probably.
Okay, great. That was very clear. And on the KPIs, do you know already what you will provide, or will you provide that to us later in the year?
No, yeah, that's an interesting one, and I've started discussing with the investor rel team this as well, quite frankly, and it would be also helpful to, you know, to get a little bit of feedback there as well, that we've seen various companies that have gone through this transition doing it very differently, quite frankly. I you know, besides an ARR, I don't think there is one set of KPIs that everyone uses. So we're sorting this out. We're in the midst of, I would say, preparing this. Happy to engage also in somewhat of a constructive bilateral discussion there if some of you want. And I've also recognized that, again, the bandwidth of companies doing that. Now, be careful with Nemetschek, because it's not the one transition for the entire company with one set of KPIs. And typically, I have a hard time to imagine that we would break out individual brands, since we have so many and it becomes a level of granularity of information, appreciating that this would be interesting for some of the audience. But I'd find it rather unusual if we go down that level of detail. But you know, for Bluebeam, particular being the biggest brand in the group, I can understand some of that discussion. And so therefore, a no, it's not yet clear. And we're in the midst of becoming clearance on this one.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sven.
The next question is from Chandra Srilaman. Stifel, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question, and congrats from my side as well for a strong start to the year. I just have a couple. Axel, in terms of the surprise in the quarter, I noticed that design had bounced back quite a bit from an organic standpoint, whereas build is still catching up. Would you say this recovery in terms of design is more sustainable? I just was trying to get a sense, is this more driven by some slip deals, or you're seeing a more sustained recovery? Any comments on also April, now that we are a month into the next quarter, would be very helpful. The second question is, we have seen a lot of other vendors talking about China being extraordinarily strong, Asia recovering quite fast. Any geographic highlights that you would like to mention would be very helpful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Chandra. I think it's fair to say, relatively early in the year, but I think it's fair to say that this is a sustainable recovery from what we've seen regarding to your design question. I think the guys are just doing a great job. We've been introducing a new product also last year, or features at least. You remember the discussion we would have had about the integrated solutions, you know, some of the marketing activities. And knowing that business is relatively Europe-based, it wouldn't surprise you concerning your second question that also that according to also the progress, you know, with the overall macro environment and confidence coming back, the vaccination campaigns are progressing, that this is, you know, the basis really for that design story that we would have seen. And that would include April, by the way, to your question.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Maybe just a quick follow-up. I appreciate it's a bit too early, but I just noticed that managed EBITDA margins, EBITDA is growing quite strongly on an organic basis. So the transition has been relatively quick and pain-free. So any thoughts on giving us a sense of how build could go through the transition would be quite helpful for us.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up question. I think we were, you probably meant the media segment, right? And the...
media.
Yeah, and I like the question particularly because this is something that typically falls through when we have limited time to talk with all of you, and you know my passion for the media business there. So we're really happy that this has become an organic growth story now that we see the first comparable over last year when we still had the effect of the previous acquisitions, of course, that were driving top line as well. Now, this is purely organic. It's substantially subscription-based, and it's across various regions and territories. So that is something that we really like and feel proud about. On build, yeah, build typically is the natural next one to follow in the I'd say recovery pattern that Sven mentioned with the question earlier. That, you know, given also there the predominance of license aspects of the business model. And the dominance of the U.S. market there, I think we're glad to see that overall the American market, partially driven by the confidence, maybe also but by just a certain positive, you know, underlying sentiment, certainly by the stimulus programs also and the political landscape that has cleared up a little bit. All of that, I would say, has gotten together for the construction industry being quite optimistic in general, be it the residential sector, be it the public sector, and that is in general, I would say, helping us. So in our situation, you know, being a smaller player, I would say, in the American market for design and build, other than the Bluebeam business, that of course would be an underlying that I would assume in whatever model you set up. Now, in our specific case, we've been, you know, always sharing this with many of you that the, you know, majority of the Bluebeam business roots from the US, and while the overall macros are improving and the recovery is kicking in, we still will continue for good reasons the path of the transition to the subscription and SaaS model. And this takes companies one or 2 years in typically. And yes, we're somewhat late with this compared to other software vendors, but we do that because we believe in the mid and long term great benefits for all of us, you know, for customers, for shareholders, and for the value generation. And that's why, you know, almost I'd say whatever the macro does, you know, we've seen setbacks or improvements or recoveries as we currently see. I think it's the right strategic move that was prepared for quite a while last year and therefore announced at the end of last year and confirmed earlier this year that we would go into this transition. And that will have an impact, of course, you know, as normal. But not so that we couldn't confirm the overall guidance for the group. And I think that's important to do that in a manageable, digestible way. And that's my little answer to the build question.
The next question is from Gal Munda, Berenberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Axel. Hi, Stephanie. Nice to hear from you. And thank you for taking my question. The first one is just around the slow business model transition and how that might impact your go-to-market going forward. I'm thinking, as we go more into subscription environment, would you expect high proportion of your revenue come from the e-commerce platform? So basically, customers coming directly to you, to your website, purchasing or subscribing to the licenses that way. And maybe just if you can give us a little bit of an indication, you know, in terms of the split of direct and indirect today, I think it's around 50-50 over the past, you said. And do you have any meaningful revenues from the e-commerce sites today?
Hello, Gal, and thank you for being on the line and for the questions, which I'm trying to answer, you know, both of them in one. I think the overall volume coming through web stores, for example, at the moment, when we look at the core business of AEC, design, build, and manage, is relatively low. The intent is there for some of the features and functionalities that are maybe also easier with sophisticated customers, experienced customers, to launch those in a more prominent way over the next, you know, couple of years. Absolutely. If we look at the media business, which is slightly more tailored, you know, around a B2C behavior when it comes to the end customers, there indeed we have gone through that exercise last year already, and we see a very pleasant and positive feedback there. And the proportion of the overall revenues coming through the internet or such stores is increasing. And we're happy to share that maybe at one point of time. But overall, I would say, as a conclusion for the group in total, there are some businesses that do not have such purchasing capabilities at all for end customers online. But I think we'll give that a greater priority in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and just to round it up, Gal, so definitely, of course, for some brands in the design segment, it's more difficult to sell their software solution via a web shop or e-commerce. But for Bluebeam, of course, it's a little bit easier because it's not so expensive or not so expensive and complex. So what we guess at the moment, e-commerce is very low at the Bluebeam organization, around 10%. And then, of course, there is a direct sales, and the major part, I really would say, comes still from the indirect sales. So 50% what we estimate is around indirect, and the rest is direct, together with the e-commerce shop.
That's really helpful. Yeah, so I was thinking, considering what you said about the media entertainment segment of the business, if I look at that, margins improving, and that obviously would have been supported by probably lower sales and marketing if you did have that kind of incremental margin that comes in at a much higher rate, right? So if you did a similar business model transition on Bluebeam specifically, I wonder whether there's potential for an incremental margin to even increase once you've transitioned the business. That was kind of my thinking behind.
Yeah.
Okay. The other question I have is just around the Bluebeam again. Can you give us maybe just a little bit of an indication before you head into the transition, like what is the growth rate at this point in time, especially like how would it compare to Q1 last year, which was still kind of okay. It kind of slowed down in the second half of the year, I think that's the right way to think about it. And then when you will transition your users from the old model to the new model, you have a significant amount of, you know, you were talking more than 2 million users that you've sold perpetual licenses to. And a lot of them do have maintenance. Can you talk us about some of the drivers, some of the, the carrots and the sticks potentially, that you might use in order to make sure that those people who are on maintenance today will move into subscription as fast as possible. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gal, for that follow-up question. I appreciate and understand that there's so much interest in the in the Bluebeam transition, quite frankly, it's a variety of exercises and actions that get prepared currently to make sure that as many, of course, you know, transition as possible. I think that that goes without saying. I think it's a mix of, you know, additional features and functionalities. It's a, it's an attractive and slightly different price positioning, debundling maybe some of the features that, that you can imagine that not all users might need. But again, in respect to really our great customers, I'd say that that would be maybe not ideal to lay those actions out that the team is currently preparing to all of you at this point of time. Please understand. In general, I think we have a good sentiment on, you know, the different types of customers, which in Bluebeam's case, we go from small, medium up to very large construction companies there. And all of that is taken into the consideration. Again, this has been in the midst of the preparation, not yet been publicly announced. Nothing was put out there to the customers. So again, we're having a little bit of problem in breaking that down to the level of detail that I think you desire, Gal. Please understand. Mm.
No, that makes perfect sense. I guess we can pick that up in a couple of quarters when it does happen. That's really helpful. Maybe just the last bit. The managed segment is kind of an outlier right now for slightly wrong reasons, considering the fact that it's sort of below average margin profile, and also the growth rate, as you said, is not quite there where you want it to be. I'm wondering, considering you have this very, very strong balance sheet and everything, is the managed segment in need of kind of further investment, especially in other regions potentially, where you could consolidate some of that market and really get to the critical mass, where you see it as a strategic growth driver in the future? Or do you think it's the one that, you know, you've invested a little bit in and maybe just wait for organic growth to come and then subsequently maybe do more investments? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think it's an excellent question. I'd like to answer it in a slightly different way. I think that in the overall perspective that someone like me has to take, I think it's a matter of also the opportunities and the alternatives at the end of the day, knowing our financial firepower and the capabilities of being able to invest organically as well as inorganically. We look at several great opportunities. Managed being one of them, and we've done, I'd say, more organic investments to, you know, prepare those pieces of the business to become a solid player, which in the meantime I think it has as the third division in the AEC space. On top, we've been doing the inorganic investments with the acquisition, for example, that we were digesting in the first quarter, which is part of the reason I'd say that also the margin is somewhat a little bit lower. But overall, I think it's a you know, relatively healthy business with nice growth rates. We're still seeing ourselves in a certain investment way. Priority, I would say, is per se on the organic front, knowing that we are a European play. If you wanted to go to other geographies in a big time, you know, leapfrog kind of moves, then it's absolutely true what I think you were referring to, that then it would need substantial investments. Yes, that's correct.
Perfect. Thank you. Again, congrats for a great start to the year, and wishing you all the best and speak soon.
Thank you.
The next question is from Florian Treisch, Commerzbank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. Also, congratulations from my side. I have a kind of a follow-up question around the whole design and performance. As you said, this should be sustainable. And given the probably highest share of license business, I believe, at least from my perspective, that the license performance was really one of the outstanding driver in the quarter, also for the margin. Looking into coming quarters and assuming your comment around sustainability and the design recovery is true, I think there's hardly any reason to believe that licenses will be massively down, maybe only starting in Q4, a bit of a headwind from the Bluebeam transition. But clearly, would you also expect whatever, 3, 4, 5% license growth in the current fiscal year? And would you then also expect to see a negative rate in 2022 due to the boom-beam transition? And a second one, maybe just around your hiring. If my numbers are right, I look it up, it's like 3% quarter on quarter, 100 people. That does not at least sound like a meaningful push into new people. Is that accelerating yet in coming quarters, or is it just more a normal run rate for you now? Thank you.
Thank you, Florian, for your excellent question. I think let me start with the latter. The headcount hiring, of course, in a market that is lighting up, where we see somewhat of a recovery, I think there's two things that come together. Do people really believe that this is substantial? In the meantime, I think we do, and sustainable. We do, and therefore I think an acceleration of hiring is really now taking place, and maybe people coming on board in a February, March timeframe with cancellation periods, search periods, and upfront work that you would have to do is easily 6 months before when you want to sign or start interviewing. So that was probably still in a period where we wouldn't see the kind of recovery that all of us were slightly also positively surprised, including you probably, how the markets performed, and that's just in the last weeks overall. Not to correct you, but 100 people for us is quite a lot in just one quarter. If we sum that up, it would be not to be taken times four. Because I think the basis also in the comparables from last year are somewhat containing a slightly different content, appreciating some smaller moves that we have done inorganically in between. But yes, the licensed design business, I think overall design is the main driver, you're right. As I said previously in one of the questions being asked already, there's no reason at the moment to believe that this is not sustainable and not repeatable. Every quarter will look, however, differently. Again, I'm cautiously hinting to the second quarter already today. I know that we had a good start in April, but the comparables are low. We saw the worst quarter last year was the second quarter. So to beat that and to show the kind of range of growth that you were indicating shouldn't be too complicated, quite frankly. That does not mean that we're getting even more optimistic as we are today already. On the overall year and for the company, for the Nemetschek Group in total, I agree with you. The dimensions that you had given in your question are absolutely something we aim for. And licenses remain a core part of our business model across almost all divisions, with the exception of media being predominantly with two-thirds on subscription already.
Excuse me. Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Florian.
The next question is from Knut Woller. Bader, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I have actually three. One, just a technical one to start with. It's the PPA, which surprised on the upside. Can you give us some insight whether there are further PPA tailwinds to be expected in the coming years and what level of PPA we should factor in? That would be the starting point. And then I have two more.
Yeah, hello, and thank you, Knut, for your question. We've analyzed that, and the way we see it is the PPA in the first quarter is somewhat lower than what we would expect for the remaining three quarters. There is accounting effects in there and some specials that have given us indeed the tailwind, as you say, not dramatically, but somewhat. And we would see ourselves on a relatively similar level for the entire year 21, like we have been on last year's levels.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, you highlighted the strong recurring revenue growth. If I look at the drivers, it was mainly driven by subscriptions and SaaS, while the traditional maintenance was just in quotation marks growing by 2% year over year. Is that only reflecting the weak license trend of last year, or is there also some elements of the Bluebeam transformation to subscriptions or Maxon's transition to subscriptions reflected in the maintenance growth?
I think it's a good point. Thank you for highlighting this. Definitely, Bluebeam impacts are not yet in at all. And we've been, I think, seeing both of the effects that you were giving us as an explanation yourself for that amount of the SSAs growing. And so there's nothing special to read into this, really. We're quite okay when looking at those numbers.
Okay, thanks. And the last one would be on the media and entertainment segment. I think if I remember correctly, the companies you acquired, like Red Giant and Redshift, reported stronger growth rates than your media and entertainment segment standalone, hence / Maxon. Can you give us some ideas about what is driving the growth in the media and entertainment segment? I know you're always a bit hesitant to provide granularity regarding individual brands, but is Maxon growing as fast as the acquired assets like Red Giant and Redshift, or is it growing slower?
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, thanks for all the questions going for media, which is an indication that there is indeed some interest amongst the audience. You know what, when we look at the companies and their numbers, when we were performing our diligence before acquisition, we did not see a difference. As a matter of fact, now that we could offer combined products, one of them being Maxon One, just recently announced a few weeks ago, Maxon One would be part of the answer to your second question, which is why and where is Maxon growing? In terms of geography, we're growing nicely in all territories, be it in Asia, namely also China or Japan, in Europe, but then also in the U.S., in various sub-segments of the entertainment industry. But clearly what we see is that Maxon One product, which is the combination of the best of all, you'd see the previous functions from a pure Maxon Cinema 4D, then added by the Red Giant capability and functionality and the new rendering capabilities. That is something that was a major driver. And so we're having a close eye on this. It's relatively early, but it seems like we have a pleasant feedback from customers that they like the differentiation of how we position the product in the market, that you get it at the full load at a decent price. And please take a minute and go on the new webpage that was just very recently announced. I think it's a wonderful way of how to display the different categories of the product there at maxon.com. And also coming back to a question earlier on regarding the web store, fair enough that this business is a little bit closer to B2C than B2B, and like Steffi was mentioning rightfully, it's not to be compared with the structural design or with some authoring tools that are relatively complex. It's not to be compared with a managed product that including the service aspects that are so helpful for our customers. This is really from little agencies, from creative studios that have been working with the design tools, in this case of the entertainment space, before. They love our product. I think the team around our CEO, Dave McGovern, is doing a fantastic job, and the integration just pays off. I think that would be my humble answer to your question, that we've been doing more than a year now in hardcore integration work from the organizational to the back-end processes to the pricing, position, and product integration. All of that pays off now, and we're eager to continue that, of course, as much as the environment permits. But, yeah, that would be the explanation.
Thank you for providing that color. Just to get a feeling for the growth of the brands, Axel, is Maxon growing at the same space as Red Giant and Redshift, or is it growing below the average of the segment?
Well, we can no longer. I mean, that question I can only answer when we would go back to the standalone companies before we acquired them in the years 2018, 19, and the integration that happened January 1st, 2020. From now on, we consider this as one total overall, and there is. there is a movement like in political elections that customers that previously were maybe Redshift or Redgiant customers now buying the Maxon product, either because they kind of keep going with the legacy product and are just loyal customers, or because they are attracted by the additional offering that they would get by the Cinema 4D previously Maxon functionality. So that we would not be able to track in the moment where we have now integrated all of that. And I don't see a reason why we should, because at the end of the day, it's a product suite that we would offer there, being positioned in different features and different price levels. And it's an integrated team/solution in the meantime.
Okay, got it and understood. Thank you very much and all the best for the remainder of the year.
Thank you, Knut.
The next question is from Martin Jungfleisch, Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions and also congrats on a strong quarter. Just two quick ones, please. On Bluebeam, again, could you disclose the growth rates that you had in the US and Europe in Q1? I think last year you mentioned that you would expect growth in the US to slow due to the high saturation levels there. Has that happened yet? And what do you expect from Europe in terms of growth this year? And maybe, are there any additional market entries in Europe planned also in light of the subscription offering in the coming quarters? That's the first question. And the second question is just on M&A, if you could provide an update there, if anything has changed to your comments from the Q4 call. Thank you.
Yeah, hello, Martin, and thank you for the compliments and for your two questions. Let me start with Bluebeam. We're not eager, please understand, to break those growth rates out per territory, per region, but I can try to answer the question in a slightly different way and shed some color on the aspirations, let's say. So, of course, what I think the Investor Rail team has been communicating and announcing for several quarters, of course that does happen, that the previously, you know, high growth rates, you know, 15, 20, what did we see? For years, growth rates have come down, including this quarter for Bluebeam North America, because of a higher saturation, because of a higher penetration. It's just the normal course of how we actually had foreseen the development. I can tell you that the DACH region, the German-speaking part of Europe, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, that is the biggest area where we invest currently outside the U.S., together with Scandinavia and the UK, and we're expecting from the DACH region over proportional growth in the coming quarters, absolutely. And we're confident with some very prominent customer wins, small, medium, as well as larger ones recently, that we can deliver on that internal expectation. But what we wouldn't do, I think, is break out Bluebeam's individual regions. I think that would be one level under a brand, even if it's the biggest one, that at the moment we wouldn't do. But we're very confident and happy and pleased with the progress that we see outside the U.S., and we're not surprised by the development in the U.S., let me put it this way.
Okay.
The second question regarding the M&A pipeline, there are several things that we look at, and I'd like to take the opportunity that Nemetschek is very close to be ready and announcing that we'd go into what other companies call venture and startup investments. The more mature M&A targets, we have some that we currently look at, but it has certainly not become easier, given the selection that took place on the market overall, and then also the price levels that we've seen. Given that our portfolio is complete, I think that we have a global reach that is very well covered in the meantime. We're trying to complement the M&A approach currently by adding startup and venture investments as an idea, and as soon as we would have done those, that's something for the mid and longer term out and strategy, of course, kind of as an additional inspiration and innovation kick besides what we do in our own innovation activities. But there's nothing substantial for the next coming weeks or quarters in terms of mature M&A targets that we see in front. I said already at the beginning of this year that this is going to be a year where We have to focus to a good degree on organic growth, which we're delivering against the expectation currently quite well. And if opportunities permit and allow, then we'd be ready.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Deepshikha Agarwal, Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on a strong quarter. I just had two questions. So first of all, on the subscription growth, it was pretty strong. It continued to be strong in this quarter. And it seems to come from media and entertainment. Also, from what we understand, includes a small contribution from design segment. So can you discuss where you are in terms of your dual offering of licenses and subscription in design? Will the subscription offering be more pronounced once the blue beam transition is through? And the second one is mostly on the cash flow. So the strong operating cash flow had some contribution from an inflow of inflow related to working capital. Can you comment on this, especially in terms of how do you expect it to track through the remainder of 2021?
Yeah, thank you, Deepshikha, and welcome to the call, and thank you for the compliment and questions. So regarding subscription, yes, I think you're right. It's coming predominantly from that area, but then there's also a little bit here and there. You know, with the, we have made this a top priority and a theme across all brands and divisions. So I think people understand more and more and see the value. But I think we feel confirmed that the approach that we are taking is that we don't do it, you know, with these gigantic moves of, you know, falling into the dip and falling into the next dip and falling into this dip. We've been talking about Bluebeam because here the situation is somewhat different given the customer base, given the size of the brand. I'm not expecting such an effect taking place in another brand at the same levels of magnitude related to the overall group financials. But what I do see is that we're probably, since you touched on the design division, we're making nice progress there in smaller as well as in bigger brands to optimize their dual offering as part of your question, that our customers really are getting the support from us for both perpetual, you know, the maintenance contracts as well as the subscription offering. Again, in Bluebeam, we go one step beyond because we transition the business into a true SaaS model, including the back-end processes. That is something that I don't see on a big scale short-term for any of the other brands, especially the ones that you mentioned around the design division. But I'm confident, you know, that my colleagues and myself, we've been driving this, we've been educating the organization, taking the lessons learned, collecting experiences, taking outside in view as well. So that I'm pleased that the phased approach that differentiates Nemetschek from many other software companies, the phased approach, which is that we're doing that and constantly getting better while still delivering great top line and bottom line performance, is the right one.
Okay. And on the operating cash flow question?
Yeah, regarding the cash flow, of course, we had this nice increase in our recurring business, and we had higher prepayments. That is the main reason. There will be a normalization over the year, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and that was really the strong increase in our recurring business. We had a similar effect also last year. There were also the cash conversion above the 100%. This year it was even a little bit higher because we had the strong increase. So nothing really unusual.
Yeah, it's the way that some of those, for example, maintenance contracts just get sold, and it seems to be becoming more and more popular, you know, to pay that upfront at the beginning of the year. Yeah, nothing I would say that should worry us. In fact, it's rather the opposite. I think it's a positive.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thanks, that's really helpful.
Thank you.
And the next question is from Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. A quick one on the commissions that you are paying to your resellers as you're transitioning to subscriptions. How shall we think about this P&L item? Would other P&L items also be impacted, like third-party services? Some insight here would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Andreas, for your good question. I'm not aware that, you know, there is a big amount of provisions, if we understood your question correctly, in particular the Bluebeam business. Some of those businesses, depending on where they sell and how they sell and which agreements they have been historically negotiating with their resellers and distributors, indeed would carry the higher the sales, a higher level also of the provision level. What we certainly do is price discounts in all of the businesses, depending on the size of the business, volume that we do with a business partner, a reseller, distributor. But in this particular part of the business, I'm not aware that you know, especially the subscription wouldn't change that, because it's not a big theme in that business.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question is from Anna Swanson, Jyske Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Axel. Hi, Stephanie. Congratulations from my side as well. 12 points goes to you from Denmark. Just a straightforward question. You might have at least partly answered this already on the revenue development for the rest of the year. If I just glance at the quarterly figures for the last couple of years before COVID-19, there's been a rather stable growth quarter on quarter. So with the nice starting point you've had on your revenues this quarter, do you see any reason why your revenues should not increase sequentially, let's say just for the rest of the year from the current level? Because that, in my model at least, would indicate a revenue growth comfortably above 10% this year. So are there any sort of drops or anything else we should be aware of for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you, Anders, and we take the 12 points from Denmark happily. But I'm not singing a song, I'm sorry to say. I think you're probably referring to constantly to currency constant numbers, right? And if it wasn't for the, I'd say, Bluebeam effect that we would expect in the fourth quarter, that could be a scenario which I could buy or agree to somewhat from a tendency. Probably not in the Q1 call. I want to see, you know, at least one more quarter, quite frankly, to really have this materializing, which again, there's the currency. There's still a pandemic out there with certain shades and variations. And then we're 150% certain that we will launch, you know, that subscription in the end of Q3, probably with financial effects in the fourth quarter latest. So that's my train of thought, how I would probably come to a similar picture, but then factoring in those points.
Okay, thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this point.
So perfect. Thank you all for listening and for your good question. If there are no further questions, we will conclude the call. Thank you, and let's keep in contact. The next quarterly report will be published in July. So we are available also during this time. Thank you very much for joining the call and have a nice day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.